Hey honeys, my name is Harriet Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and I'm with my work wife, Richie Swan.
Hey, hey, hey.
And this is our All Things Fitness and Dieting podcast, A Girl and a Gay in the Gym.
Before we go on, I just want to thank everyone again for all the support and great feedback. But if you can go over to Apple and rate, review and subscribe to us, that would be amazing. Thanks to Nick, who's also commented saying, great listen, can't wait for the next one. We've got El Paz, two brilliant trainers delivering a hilarious, helpful guide to achieving your fitness goals. Love it.
Thank you.
And Susie K, finally a honest podcast about the gym. Love it.
Folks, if you are listening, we want to know. So put it on your story. Send us a little picture. It doesn't necessarily have to be a screenshot of your Spotify or Apple. Could be you in the bath. Could be a nude. Could be anything.
A nude? No. This week we're going to do it a little bit different. We've invited my client Sarah in, who's also my friend now. But I just think the journey that Sarah's been on and the story that she's got to tell is so inspirational. It'd be great for a lot of people out there to be able to get some inspiration from Sarah and know that anything's possible.
Oh, thank you.
It's all right, babe.
Hello, everyone.
I think it's best for us to start at the very beginning. Looking back to previous episodes, we talked about that ping moment, that moment that you realised that you really wanted to start making a change. So I suppose, Sarah, what was your ping moment and when was it?
Right, so it was August 2017. It was a pretty hard time at work. It was quite stressful. I'd been going through some rough times previously for about 18 months before that as well. And I think I just cracked.
What happens when you cracked?
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah,
honestly?
Yeah.
I grabbed a knife and I started stabbing my couch. So my mum said it was obviously very worried. She took me off to the doctors the next day and he signed me off for the foreseeable, but that ended up being 7 months. And during that first meeting with my doctor, he just said, the worst thing you can do is stay at home and do nothing and just shut yourself away from people. So he said, just do what you enjoy. So I always thought about my holidays. I love to swim and be in the sunshine and everything. Obviously, it'd be inappropriate to go on holiday. So I joined Nuffield Gym and they've got this big massive pool and like there's a massive glass ceiling, isn't there? And there's just sunshine everywhere.
Felt like you were swimming outside.
Yeah, it felt like I was swimming in the Med, but then I'd overheard this big dirty cackle during one of these aqua aerobic classes and I was always too shy and I was intimidated to join it.
A big
and
dirty cackle?
Yeah, and I didn't know
that
who it
was.
That
sounds horrific.
But I just saw these, like, I call them the age concern crew at the back. And I just ended up joining them one day and I absolutely loved them and I loved Richie. And I just thought,
so everyone knows, that dirty cackle was me on poolside teaching aqua aerobics.
I think that was my pink moment, just being around people who were trying to, like, improve themselves. And to be fair,
and can I just ask, how hard did you find that? Because it's all well and good the doctor going to you, you need to do something you enjoy. How hard was it for you to then go to the gym, to leave your house and go and get in that pool?
Well, it's the physical thing of, you don't want anyone to see you, do you? In your, well, probably different for yous, but you don't want anyone to see you in your swimming costume. There's that self-conscious thought, isn't there? But for me, I was rock bottom anyway, so I kind of like, I just pushed myself into it.
So even at that rock bottom, you had that drive to get
you
out.
You are literally at the bottom, you can't go any lower. You know, around that time I was, I'm not shy talking about it, I was at Otterspool and I was looking at the Mersey and I was like, I want to die. I'm going to fling myself into the Mersey. I didn't do it. So that's how low I was. So no one could say anything to me that was going to stop me joining Nuffield. Yeah. And just listening to the water in the pool and, you know, you're laughing and then talking to the age concern group, it was just amazing. You know, it's an escape from reality, I think.
And I just think it's inspiring to people out there, because there'll be people sat listening somewhere who have depression or have dark thoughts who haven't got that drive or confidence to go and go into the gym. But you can do it, and you're proof that you can do it. So that's why I was asking that.
I think at that point, I just didn't care what anyone said to me. Yeah. I'm just going to do it. It was never about losing weight for me. It was about being happy. I wanted to be happier.
Yeah.
And I never knew back then that I would be as happy as I am now. I wouldn't thought it would be possible.
Oh, babe, I love that.
Oh, babe.
It's not about a number on a scale or a dress size or anything like that. It's how you feel at that time, isn't it? I think the biggest thing to remember is through anyone's journey, but it's clear with Sava, like doing exercise and getting fit and eating better has led her down a path now that she feels so much better and she's so much happier. But it is about how you feel, so focus more about how you feel as your target, maybe necessarily more than just like a number or a dress size.
How much weight have you actually lost now?
Eight and a half stone.
What else did you have to change? So you got yourself to the gym. What else had to change in your lifestyle for you to lose 8.5 stone?
So I joined Slimming World and I was following it loosely, if I'm honest, because I think it's more fitted towards meat eaters.
You don't eat meat?
Well, not that kind of meat. What was it talking about? It is fitted more towards meat eaters because you can eat as much meat as you want, but when it comes to like corn or marinated tofu or whatever, there's like 7 sins or whatever attached to that, and you'd only allow 15 sins a day. So I just...
Forgive me, Father, for I have sins.
Yeah. What was it? A corn sausage is 1.5 sins. What's all that about? I think for me, it was more about the exercise because I've never been really an unhealthy eater. I just maybe ate too much. Like, I love cheese. I still love cheese. I'm still gonna eat the cheese.
Let's go back to how you felt when you... Because I remember when we were on the gym floor and you come up and you had a little induction with me and we were chatting and I remember you getting quite upset. Like, I was thinking, wow, this is going to be really difficult. And our first session, you cried all the way through.
I remember our consultation, actually, and I remember those exact words you said to me, and you were like, right, babe, take a seat. And we were messing around. You were like, oh, where's a pen? Can't find a pen, as usual. And you said, right, babe, so what is it you want to change? And then I just burst into tears, and I just said, I just want to be happy. And, yeah.
What did I do?
I think you were like tearing yourself.
Oh, babe. Yeah. I probably was.
And then you hugged me.
Oh, did I hug you?
Yeah. I originally was meant to be doing PT with someone else. And then I got matched with you, didn't I?
Yeah.
By chance. And I think probably that was the best thing for me because, you know, our personalities are pretty much the same, aren't they? So yeah.
Filth.
We're like a married couple, aren't we? We just don't have sex. Well, so, married couples don't have sex, do you?
So exactly like a married couple. Is that right, Harriet?
I can vouch for that.
Let's go back though. So you're in the gym, you're at rock bottom, you're feeling the worst you've ever felt in your life. You're now crying on a treadmill walk and I have to take you off the treadmill and we go and sit on the fire escape because I look like the PT from hell. What gets you to get up and come back in? Because you've just sobbed for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that. I had an anxiety attack, didn't I? Mm. And I just fell to the floor. The sense of I'd already committed to personal training with yourself. Because I know what I'm like, especially with the depression. If I don't commit to something, like financially, maybe that's an example, then I'll just give it up. So yeah, I went to reception and in Nuffield and I bought something like 20 sessions or something like that. It cost me an absolute fortune, but, and it does seem a bit crazy, and I was crazy at the time, still am now.
I was going to say, what?
I needed something to make sure I stuck on plan. So if I ever did get a doubt, I could go, well, I'm not going to waste all that money. Plus, I'm too stubborn. And also, I was invested in our relationship at that point, and I didn't want to let you down as well as letting myself down, but it was more important not to let you down because my confidence in myself was like rock bottom, wasn't it? So
when you started your training, you started getting into it a little bit more, when did you start to see a change, or more importantly feel a change? When did you start to feel a bit different?
I don't think I felt a physical change for a while. I think it was only until I saw the photos that Richie showed me that I'd noticed differences. So he took a picture at the initial consultation when I had my meltdown. And then maybe a few months later, I can't remember. Can you remember?
I think it was about 8 weeks later, wasn't it? 8 or 12 weeks later.
And I'd like lost a chin or something like that. And I thought, oh my God, I've done so well here.
I remember every week, because you go to your weigh-in at Slimmer's World, and every week you come and you go, I've only lost 2 pounds. I was like, babe, in 7 weeks, that 2 pounds going to be a stone if you keep doing it this way. And then you get so frustrated with yourself with the number, do you remember? Mm. Of going how low it was. But yeah, really what you were doing was just chipping away at this 8.5 stone.
Well, it's like what Harriet says. I think it is unhealthy to be focusing on a scale, you know, go by how your clothes are fitting and, you know, your photos and stuff like that. Yeah, so the physical part of it was pretty slow for me. Like, I couldn't see a difference in how I was looking.
Are you fucking messing? Slow?
No, it was
within
for me.
Within a year, you've lost 8 stone. How could that be slow?
But if you think back then, I was, like, really depressed, wasn't I? Yeah. I couldn't see anything positive in myself. So it had to take for photos to be like put in my face and go and, you know, look at the difference. You can't argue with photos, yeah, can you?
No, you can't.
But emotionally, I started feeling different about 6 weeks in, I think. I remember looking back at my photos before. There was a photo of me smiling in October, and I think that was the first time I'd like properly smiled since August.
Was that when you had your red sequin swimming
hat
on?
It was,
yes. You had a red sequin swimming cap.
Yeah, I went to the swimming pool with it and everything.
It was the campus swimming cap ever. I loved it.
It was, you know, talking to other people. It was the social side of the fitness thing that I appreciated. Not enjoyed, well, I did enjoy it, but appreciated it.
Yeah, and look at you now. Like, Mrs. Popular when you come in.
I know.
And it's that thing that we say, like, if you're getting into it, first of all, a boss thing to do is classes.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you get to know people so quickly. If you go to that same class, after 2 weeks, the instructor will know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
After 3, you'll recognise someone. After 4, you've made a mate.
Yeah.
Please go to classes and please commit to them because they're so, so, so good.
Okay, so let's fast forward it a bit because obviously it's been a year and a half nearly, is it?
Yeah, 18 months.
18 months. So what's changed now since you started?
Well, I'm no longer on antidepressants. That's the major thing. I do still have depression. I have phases of feeling really low and then other phases of being like dead happy.
I think someone else has come into the picture as well. What else has changed in your life, Sarah?
Well,
what else
I've had more vitamin D. And it's winter.
And she burnt more calories on top.
We had to Google this, didn't we? Yeah. It's actually proven. I think, was it like 3 times the amount of calories on top? Yeah. I bought a love chair so I can get a better position.
I have.
Please tell me this chair's not in the living room.
I'm sorry, I'm just going to say this. What is a love chair?
Oh, it's a 2-person mini couch, isn't it? So you've got no...
Oh, like a sofa? I thought you meant like sex swing.
I thought you meant like a swing.
When I get a bigger house.
I'm
going
to take some pictures of a sex swing. I am more.
Yeah, so there's me mum on it there.
Okay, so moving on from the love seat. And kind of staying in theme with what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago with dating when you're exercising. I'm guessing there's now someone special if we've got a love seat. Let's talk about Johnny. How did this happen?
Or Johnny the person or Johnny's?
No, Johnny the person. You've gone from depressed, you can't see any hopes of change, losing 8 stone, becoming an award winner, changing your life completely by yourself, to now feeling confident enough to go out and start dating. How did this happen?
So I'd always been against dating because my experience of men has not been great. I think I've been single near 6 years before I met Johnny. And before that, I was in a long-term relationship for 7 years. Was it in October? 2 years ago, was it, when you met Connor?
No, only a year.
Was it a year ago? Bloody hell, feels like longer, doesn't it? So you're obviously like dead loved up and everything, and you keep on saying to him, oh, why don't you get out there and start dating and all this? Like, literally every few weeks, he's trying to marry me off. He's worse than me mum. And then eventually, he kind of just wore me down and told me I have to open this Tinder account.
Did you bully him to Tinder? I
did.
You were looking amazing. You needed to show it off, babe. So anyway,
opened the Tinder account through your bullying me. And then within, I think, like a week, I just met Johnny and then I haven't been able to shake him off since. Well,
you liar.
So what can I say about him?
Well, I've never seen you looking so happy ever. You're beaming.
Thank you. And thanks to Johnny, I suppose. Well, he's my toy boy. He's 5 years younger than me, so I've got to keep up with him.
So Richie talked before about how he loves the book The Secret, and like when you put out positive vibes and when you feel good about yourself, good things start to happen. Do you think once you started to really see yourself in a different light and started thinking more positively, that's when you attracted someone to you? It was more about how you felt in yourself more than maybe how you looked or what you weighed.
Yeah, I think until I was a certain size, I didn't even think of anything romantic. You know, I didn't think of anything sexy. Obviously, I looked at the telly and went, oh, yeah, he's fit. But I didn't want to, you know, bring anyone into my life. But taken away from the physical side of it, you know, mental health is like a lot more important to me than physical looks or how I might feel. So I think until I was feeling happier, I wasn't going to look for anyone. I wouldn't have agreed to go onto Tinder or whatever. And meeting Johnny, he's kind of like completed my happiness, I suppose.
He was the cherry on top.
He's the top, the middle and the bottom.
Oh.
There seems to be this stigma with new relationships that, especially if you are dieting, that they're going to come along and just ruin everything for you. And I don't want anyone to think that of Johnny, because he's actually been really supportive of me. He's the one that on Sunday morning I was like, oh, I really can't be bothered going to that spin class, no offense, Elliot. But he was like, no, get up, right? And he forced me to get changed. So we went to the spin class together. You know, he cooks some of my meals for me. Every lunchtime we go for a walk, whatever the weather.
Yeah.
It just keeps me motivated. So if anything, he's kind of like the opposite. And going back to your original question, I think me being happier in myself and feeling more healthy, I've attracted someone who's equally as happy and healthy into my life. And it can only be a good thing, you know, going forward. There's only two men in my life, that's him and Richie. And you know what? The funny thing is, a few weeks ago, Johnny called me a crank, and I was like, there's only one man who I allow to call me a crank, and that's Richie.
Aww.
But it's obviously, since November, I've been on permanent holiday mode. And I'm not ashamed to say I've probably gained a few pounds, haven't I? But you have to compare how I was 18 months ago, and I was like ready to kill myself, where now I'm at a stage where I feel I can be happy and I'm not going to feel guilty for being happy. I'm going to take myself on holiday and, you know, I'm going to chill out a little bit more, but I know when to draw the line and get back to it and become accountable. And it, you know, it just helps that I've got you as my personal crank to just keep me going.
Wait, then, what else has changed, babe? Aren't you an award winner?
I'm an award winner, yeah. A Richie Swan approved Liverpool Fitness Professional Award member achievement.
Member Achiever of the Year.
Yeah.
So you were recognised in the city for the amount of weight you've lost and how far you've come with mental health.
Sometime in March, wasn't it? You told me that we've got a dress to fit into. And it was at that point where I was like, oh my God, shit's just got real. I'm actually going to fit into like a glamorous dress. And I had this like massive, because I'm not a girly girl, I felt a little bit stressed actually that I couldn't let you down, because A, I wanted to win the award for you. B, I wanted to win it for me because I love fun and stuff. And like, C, it's like, I had to look glamorous. And there's so many like lovely looking girls, aren't there? And I'm not a lesbian, but there are so many glamorous girls, and I am just a normal looking girl.
You're an extraordinary girl, babe. Don't ever put yourself down, because you are stronger in the mind, in the body. You're the funniest, most incredible, inspiring person ever, and don't let anyone ever tell you any less, because you are. And you changed my life by being so incredible. So,
oh, bless you.
Don't know what to say to
I got a little tear in my eye then. No, but it is, you are. You're inspirational.
Thank
like,
you.
You're one in a million, babe.
So we've spoken before loads about mental health and how we feel and stuff like that, and how exercise and fitness can help loads. Based on that, if there is anyone listening that does feel like Sarah's felt, or like I've felt, or like most of us have felt on those certain days and certain times, Sarah, have you got any advice for any of our listeners?
I think my number one thing I've started more recently is not to take my mobile phone into the gym with me, because I do get carried away with like Instagram and Facebook and people WhatsApping me. And, you know, I never used to be vain, and I don't think I'm vain now, but I do like taking photos for me photos.
You were definitely not vain with that backcombed haircut you come in with today. She got out of bed to come straight to the gym. She looked like she'd been dragged in. You are not vain.
Yeah, anyway, so that's my number one tip. Don't take your phone in with you, because you're just too tempted by it, and I don't think you're reaching your potential, are you, really? I'm sounding like a PT, yeah, but you're not, are you?
And what about on a deeper level? So on getting started, what advice would you give?
Probably talk to your friends and family about it. You know, I'm always getting told I'm a bit of a gym bore. You know, I talk too much about the gym, but if I didn't talk about it, I'd lose motivation. And really, if they love and support you, then they should be supportive about it, shouldn't they? And I also find as well, if I talk about my plans to go to the gym, then I'll actually go to the gym.
So what about food wise any tips and advice for us food wise babe?
Always try and organize your food on a Sunday. I try to get all my lunches made. It's just about being organized, isn't it? Because, you know, when you're out all day, it just becomes easy to like just go home and eat anything, or just get on, you know, Uber Eats or Just Eat or whatever. Not that I've got those apps downloaded.
Okay, so to sum it up, we just want to say a massive thanks to Sarah for coming on and being our very first guest. Oh. And being amazing.
Well, it was a privilege, and thank you for having me.
Okay, so as always, we're going to answer a couple of your questions at the end of the episode. So you can tweet us or get us on Instagram at Gail Gay Gym if you've got anything you want to know. Jessica Baxendale sent us a little message. Hey, Jess. Love your podcast. Has me howling. Us too, babe. Question. I bought myself the body coach plan for my wedding last year. Did dead well. Lost a load of weight. Fitted in the dress. Happy days. I've continued following his principles of a carb meal after workout only. Does it actually matter when you eat your carbs? I have two non-carb meals and then my carb tea after work. I've really plateaued lately and it's driving me fucking mad.
What's her name? Jess.
Jess.
Right, Jess. Congratulations on the wedding, by the way. But, babe, be accountable. We've told you. To lose weight, it's all about calorie deficit. Now, I'm betting everything I have, before you got married, you were probably tracking everything or being as good as you can. Now you've got a fella and you feel secure, you're picking.
I'd say, if you've lost a bit of weight, right, it's nothing to do with how much carbs you eat, Jess, so stop worrying about that. It's all about how many calories you have. So if you've lost weight, babe, right, and you're eating a certain number of calories for a body weight, so say you're 10 stone and you're eating a deficit calories for 10 stone, you've gone on your calorie counter or calorie calculator and worked it out. Maybe now, if you've lost a little bit more weight, you need to rework that out, because obviously if your body weight's a little bit lower, you actually need less calories a day. So go back onto a calorie calculator and work it out for the body weight that you are now and redo it again and adjust your calories, and then babe, the weight will start coming off again.
Jamie has messaged in on Instagram. How to keep your ass but lose weight? You can't choose where the weight comes off.
I wish you could.
It's just a case of, if you want to lose weight, it's going to come off where it's going to come off. All I can suggest is you do weights to the area that you want to make sure it tones, isn't it? It'll work on, but you can't choose about keeping it big.
Hip thrust, honey. Hip thrust and good calorie deficit.
Yeah, it's a pain, isn't it? Because that's the first place I lose my weight is my bum. And I'm like, it's just one of them. If you want to lose body fat, it's going to go.
No, man's not mad to me boobs.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm dieting for half an hour and I've lost.
You dieting at the minute, babe? Flat as a pancake.
Cheeky bastard.
You've been listening to Hattie Jeffries, also known as the Gym Bird, and Richie Swan, also known as Richie Swan, on A Girl and a Gay in the Gym. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please subscribe, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts now to help more people hear about it. And don't forget to follow the socials at Girl Gay Gym on Instagram and Twitter. Cheers.